Bhagavad Gita As It Is, Chapter 9, The Most Confidential Knowledge, Text Number 13. Mahatmanas Tumam Bharata Daivim Prakritim Ashita Pudanyananya Manaso Gyatva Bhutadim Avyayam Maha Atmanaha. The great souls, to, but, mum, unto me, partha, O son of Pritha, daivim, divine, prakritim, nature, ashritya, having taken shelter of, bhajanti, render service, Ananya Manasa, without deviation of the mind, Gyatva, knowing, Buddha, of creation, Adim, the origin, Avyayam, inexhaustible. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O son of Pritha, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. Purport, in this verse, the description of the Mahatma is clearly given. The first sign of the Mahatma is that he is already situated in the divine nature. He's not under the control of material nature. And how is this affected? This is explained in the seventh chapter. One who surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, at once becomes freed from the control of the material nature. That is the qualification. One can become free from the control of material nature as soon as he surrenders his soul to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the preliminary formula. Being marginal potency, as soon as the living entity is freed from the control of material nature, he is put under the guidance of the spiritual nature. The guidance of the spiritual nature is called Daivi Prakriti, divine nature. So when one is promoted in that way, by surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one attains to the stage of great soul, Mahatma. Mahatma does not divert his attention to anything outside of Krishna because he knows perfectly well that Krishna is the original Supreme Person, the cause of all causes. There is no doubt about it. Such a Mahatma or great soul develops through association with other Mahatmas, pure devotees. Pure devotees are not even attracted by Krishna's other features, such as the four-armed Mahavishnu. They are simply attracted by the two-armed form of Krishna. They are not attracted to the other features of Krishna, nor are they concerned with any form of a demigod or of a human being. They meditate only upon Krishna and Krishna consciousness. They are always engaged in the unswerving service of the Lord in Krishna consciousness. Mahatmanas tumam partha daivim prakriti mashitya padananya manaso gyatva bhutadem avyam. O son of Pritha, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. There are two types of living entities. There are the Mahatmas and the Duratmas. Those who are great souls and those who are crooked souls. The only difference is the Mahatmas are engaged in devotional service and the Duratmas aren't. Now, most people will not agree with us. They already think we're crazy, but that would just reconfirm their thoughts. Because they don't believe in God, at least not Krishna's God. They may believe in something. If you ask people what do you believe in God? I don't know about in Slovenia. How many people, what percentage of people in Slovenia officially believe in God. ? 60%. And the other 40%? What's that?
They don't believe.
They don't believe, okay. In America, probably it's more like 80-20 or something like that. It could be different now. Europe, I think, is a little bit more godless than America. In any case, even if you ask people in America or here who believe in God, what do they believe in? You won't get a very good, a clear answer. Oh, God is love. Is it the same love I have for my dog? Is that a manifestation of God? So it's not really clear. God is, well, some people may say, well, God is, Jesus Christ is God, is the Lord. What's that? Oh, I'm sure most people think in reality money is God. People don't trust in God. They don't even trust the money anymore. So it's not very clear, but we say that if you're under Krishna's control, then you're under the, should be under the influence of the divine energy. In other words, there is Krishna and there's service to Krishna, and service to Krishna puts you under the divine energy. And in the divine energy, then under the divine energy, then you realize things as they are. You realize you're eternal. You can see everyone else's in their relationship to Krishna. Understand, everything is revealed, just like the sun lights up everything in the daytime. So you can't say you're under the internal energy and you're still in ignorance. It's not, doesn't go together. Either you're in, under the illusory energy and being directed by the illusory energy, or you're under the internal energy and being directed by the internal energy. Now, there's something called mixed devotional service, where we're still under the influence of the modes of nature, but we're being directed by the internal energy. So that's also considered to be a liberated state. Not completely liberated, but at least liberated from the somewhat liberated from the influence of the illusory energy. Just like most of us don't go to, for when we get time off, we don't go to the bar to have a break from the spiritual energy. Are you laughing for some reason? No, because we know that there's two energies. There's the material energy, which will put us deeper into ignorance, and then we have the spiritual energy, which will liberate us. So one is still considered to be in a liberated condition, while one is being directed by the spiritual energy. So while we're performing devotional service, we're at least considered to be liberated somewhat from the material concept of life. We may not be fully liberated, but at least we're working on the liberated platform. So that's what we... And the result should be tushanti cha ramanti cha. The result should be some satisfaction. In other words, if we're actually working on the liberated platform, we should feel some satisfaction. When one is actually concentrated on the spiritual platform, then there's ramanti. Machita machkata prana bodhiyantas parashparam katayantas pram nityam tushanti cha ramanti cha. The thoughts of my pure devotees, they dwell in me, their lives are surrendered to me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss by enlightening one another and conversing about me. So anyone who's hearing about Krishna, anyone who's using their energies according to what they've heard, even if they're not completely liberated, still they should feel some satisfaction. And when they're actually liberated, after the stage of Nishta, then there's Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, and Prema, and then the pleasure and the happiness increases progressively. The transcendental pleasure. And when one works on that platform, Krishna says, then tesham sadatam yuktanam bhajantam priti purvakam tadami buddha yogam tam yenamam upayantite. When Krishna actually talks to us, then we realize what Krishna is saying. In other words, Krishna is speaking in the Bhagavad Gita, but when we follow, engage in more steady, more enthusiastic devotional service, then Krishna actually directly talks to us and we become enlightened. It's like Krishna was talking to Narada Muni. Narada Muni was meditating after his mother got bitten by a serpent. He was free. He was only a small boy, but he wandered the entire planet or some part of the planet. And then he came to some part and he applied what he had heard from the sages about meditating on Krishna. And then Krishna appeared within the core of his heart. And every part of his body became separately enlivened with transcendental ecstasy. And he couldn't see both Krishna and himself as being different. And then at that time, Krishna spoke to him. Said, sorry, you won't be able to see anymore. But we want to increase your desire to see me. So anyhow, he spent a little time, the rest of his life, thinking about Krishna. And then he became Narada Muni. He went back, emerged into creation, at the end of the creation, and he came back as Narada Muni. So in any case, when Krishna talks to us, then we can actually hear what he's saying, and then it becomes realized. In other words, Krishna is talking to us in Bhagavad Gita, and as much as we hear it, then we'll realize it. But we don't listen to it very carefully, because we're a little distracted, and we haven't really assimilated the knowledge, so it's not so clear. But still, Krishna is talking to us. And if we read it with some attention and some thoughtfulness, then Krishna will actually tell us what he's saying. He'll reveal to us in the Bhagavad Gita as in cooperation with the Supersoul. It's the Supersoul that's modulating our consciousness at the present time. So then we can actually see things as they are. And see things as they are means that the modes of ignorance and passion are gradually diminished. And therefore we become liberated from the sufferings of being directed by the illusory energy. Being directed by the illusory energy, by lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and envy, is suffering. It's not very pleasant. And when we become liberated, then we can see things more clearly. And then we're more and more under the influence of the internal energy. And then the Mahatma develops a taste. He doesn't, as Prabhupada said, he doesn't divert his attention to anything else, including the Mahavishnu or other features. But we don't have to worry about that right now. If you think about Mahavishnu, don't get too concerned. No one will penalize it. Oh, you're thinking Mahavishnu. Oh, you're in spiritual Maya. We caught you. Wow, look at that. He has a picture of Forearm Vishnu. He's not one of us. he's not going back to Godhead. He's going back to Vaikuntha. No, we don't have to worry about that. But we do have to worry about whether or not we're serving the instructions from Krishna coming into simple succession or not. And specifically, for us, whether we're actually doing something to please Krishna, or at least to try and please Krishna, and that we're trying to cooperate with the devotees to spread Krishna consciousness. If we're doing that, then we're considered to be on the liberated platform, and then Krishna will reciprocate with us. Sometimes he'll put us in ecstasy, sometimes he'll give us some realization, he'll put us in a position where we'll think, why did Krishna abandon me? Why am I not making any progress? And then we'll think about Krishna even more. We won't take it so lightly, the whole process. Yeah, that's right, I was chanting and I was in ecstasy. Sure, I should always be in ecstasy. I deserve it because I'm a good devotee. And then, what happened, I was doing so nicely and then Krishna just left. Maybe he's asleep, it's still Chaturmasya. There's a week left. Wake him up. No, Krishna will sometimes separate himself from us and sometimes to reveal himself just to develop our desire, because it's not a mechanical process. It's a process of developing desire. There's no point where we become qualified. Even Brahma has to develop his desire, what to speak of our little selves. There's nothing inherently in what we've done in the past that qualifies us to go back to Godhead. We can't say, well, I sing so nicely, I cook nicely, I quote so many verses, I deserve to go back to Godhead. No, that's not our credit. That means that by the association with devotees, we've come to this level of devotional service, and at least we've come to this level of qualification. But it's not the absolute level of qualification. We have to progress further by developing a desire, anxiety to see Krishna. As we read in the Srimad Bhagavatam or Brihad Bhagavatamrita, when the devotees are actually qualified to become fully conscious of Krishna, then they're completely anxiety at every moment to see Krishna. They can't live without Krishna. Right now, we think we're doing pretty well without Krishna. And if we become Krishna conscious for a few minutes or a few moments, then what do you think? Yeah, sure. It's not bad. And then we go back to our normal everyday activities. We don't think, oh my God, I forgot about Krishna for a second. No, we think, who was that I forgot about? What was going on? That's right. That was 3 years ago. Oh, that's right. This is a temple. Oh, that's Krishna on the altar. I was wondering who it was. No, we may not be so much anxious to find Krishna, but Krishna will try to arrange our lives to develop that anxiety. And he's pretty expert because he's been doing it since time immemorial. So we shouldn't get so much concerned that, you know, Krishna, don't you know what the process is? You know, why don't you reciprocate? You know, you don't like Slovenians or something. Too small a country to take seriously. No, it's not like that. So we have to be patient. We have to develop confidence and know that as long as we're trying to follow the process, we're in good hands, and that Krishna will help us make progress. It may not be in the way we expect it. It may not, you know, it's not that we come to the Hare Krishna movement and there's the plan, and every detail of the plan is worked out because it was made by God. And if he deviates from it, it means he must have made a mistake. But Krishna knows what he's doing, and we should find out what we're doing also, so that we stay under the internal energy, whether we're feeling ecstasy or anxiety, whether things are going the way we think they're supposed to go, or they're going some other way. We have to have faith that it's all being arranged by Krishna for our spiritual advancement. And then we'll gradually actually come under more fully and fully the internal energy of Krishna, and everything will be revealed, and we'll understand everything perfectly. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, how does it happen? I mean, what's the next? I don't know even how to put it together. When a person has ups and downs in spiritual life, like you talked many lectures, you talked about anishta bhajana kriya, like up and down. So
there's a stage of anishta bhajana kriya. It's called okay. Tarangaran. It's called ganatarala. There's six stages of anishta bhajana kriya according to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti. First stage is called utsahamayi, when it's puffed up with enthusiasm, when thinks, "Oh, I'm such a great devotee! I can't believe it." I can't understand how these devotees have been around here for so many years, how much maya they're in. I guess they weren't sincere to begin with, but I'm really enthusiastic. So I'm the real devotee. a few weeks I should make it back to Godhead, and I'm going to come back and save all these people. So that's called
1 week.
Utsahamayi. And then Ganadharala, then when he's trying to practice sadhana, one suddenly realizes that actually my mind is not always fixed on Krishna, that I deviate also like everyone else. I'm up and down like a yo-yo. And then one starts trying to figure out what's the problem, he realizes that I'm attached to sense gratification. And then when he tries to renounce sense gratification, he becomes more attached to it. And then when he tries to give up, when one gets a little more steady, one is not so much attached to sense gratification or trying to renounce it, then one becomes more and more trying to give up the vishuddha vikalpa. Then one tries to give up mental speculation, fix the mind upon Krishna, and then one tries to become steady in sadhana, niyama kshama, and then one tries, when it actually becomes steady in sadhana, is not so much afflicted by desires of sense gratification or renunciation, not so much into mental speculation, and then one can actually have more or less steady sadhana, and that's called taranga rangini, steadiness, one is steady. One is steady in one's devotional service, but one is trying to enjoy the results of devotional service. One thinks, yeah, I'm really steady, I'm a good devotee. Everyone appreciates me now. They know who I actually am. Mahatma. So that then one can actually start working on nishtita bhajana kriya, which means give up the 10 offenses against the holy name and concentrate on it. Chant with concentration. And then one can come to the stage of nishta, steadily progressing in devotional service, having the attitude of surrender. I'm thinking, now I'm in a great position because I'm great. I'm such a great soul, that's why I'm in a great position. One will always feel meek and humble in any circumstance, realizing I'm in a good position because of the mercy of Krishna and his devotees, and I'm in a difficult position because Krishna is trying to help me. So one is always steady in any, so one is always realizing I'm 1/10,000 size, a tip here in size, that everyone's material circumstances are. So that's called nishtha. But one can perform sadhana bhakti steadily and still be not at the state of nishtha. Because nishtha is not only steady devotional service, but steady consciousness too. Liberated consciousness. Does that answer your question?
Yes. By slowly adding more Krishna conscious activities and being more attentive at it, such consciousness develops.
Yeah, Krishna develops it for us. If we think I'm going to develop a certain consciousness, we're wrong. We can show Krishna that we're serious by following his instructions, and then he'll give us what we're desiring. He'll manifest within our, he'll reveal himself, he'll put us more under the eternal energy. But it's not by my effort alone. It's by my making an effort and following Krishna's directions, and then Krishna gives me the results of that. He makes it realized knowledge. Yes. Anything else?
Thank you.
It's amazing, everyone's more awake at night than they are in the morning. What's that?
Only today.
Do you always actually fall asleep at night in the class?
Why not?
Oh, no. Take an early break. Get prepared for sleep. Relax. All right, thank you very much. Grandharaj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.